I start every day creating myself. I'm writing in my journal, today I am loving service. I am patient. So that is in the front of my consciousness. Yeah. When I go to have a conversation, do an interview, whatever task it is I'm going to do. So I'm not focused on my task list first. I'm focused on my being list.
Welcome to the Learn It All podcast with your hosts, Learn It CEO, Damon Lemby, and SVP of Product, Darren Bridget. Our mission is to explore how continuous growth shapes the path to success. Our guests are high achievers who've learned there's always something new to discover. They'll share their stories, strategies, and insights with you. So whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, an aspiring athlete, or simply someone who believes in the lifelong pursuit of knowledge, this podcast is for you. Join us now for the latest episode as we continue the Learn It All's journey through a world that never stops teaching.
Hello and welcome to the Learn It All podcast. We are Damon Lemby and Darren Bridget. Damon Lemby, CEO of Learn It. Darren Bridget, I'm in charge of the professional development content that we create. I'm very excited today to talk shop with Meredith Bell. Meredith Bell is the co-founder and president of Grow Strong Leaders. The company publishes software, tools, and books. They're helping build strong relationships at work and in your personal life. Author of several books, most recently, with Dennis Coates, Connect with Your Team, Mastering the Top 10 Communication Skills, and Peer Coaching Made Simple. She's out there creating software tools, great communication and leadership development training. And for us today, we're very excited because this is somebody who gets learning. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Welcome to the show, Meredith.
And before Meredith gets started, I want to say that I met Meredith. So I was a guest on her show, Grow Strong Leaders, which is phenomenal. And she's been an inspiration for me to get together with Darren and collaborate on this Learn It All podcast. So I've really learned a lot from you, Meredith. I'm honored and grateful to have you here today.
Thank you both. I love that welcome. I feel energized and appreciated.
Good, good. That's great. Well, you deserve it. Meredith, we always like to ask people who, especially about learning, because that's what we're all about here, what's something that you're hoping to learn and get better at in the near future?
Both of these things are taking what I've been doing to another level because they're related. And we are going to be introducing a brand new product here in the next 6 weeks or so. And I want to use my creativity to come up with more innovative ways to get the word out about this product, because I know how it can impact organizations. And so I'm going to be tapping into my creativity to think of different ways that we can get in front of our ideal clients and have this be so compelling they can't say no. Yeah. And the other piece of that is reframing this idea of making a big ask and putting it in the context of a simple request and practicing that, because sometimes we can talk ourselves out of doing something or trying out something because we think, oh, that's too big. That's too much.
Right.
And in reality, it's the story we're telling ourselves. It isn't the reality in the world. And so just practicing both of those things, being more creative, tapping into that, and making more asks.
That's great. So to be totally honest, what happens now is I get so curious about what you said that I just jump on it and I lose the opportunity for you to tell your story so that our listeners know who you, a little bit more who you are. Could you fill folks in on your journey with Grow Strong Leaders?
Okay. I have a couple of unusual things. My two business partners and I have worked together now for 32 years. And so that in itself is an interesting story. One of them, Denny Coates and I, who you mentioned as my co-author, were both independent consultants doing similar work, but we didn't know each other back in 1990, actually. And we met and started collaborating on some leadership development programs and decided, you know what, let's start working together. We just felt we were compatible in all the right ways. And at the time we put our two companies together, we brought in a third partner who managed all the business side of things. And so the three of us have just continued to grow and learn. And in 1994, we decided we were going to transition from being consultants to a software company because we wanted a 360 feedback tool that didn't exist back then. There were some, but they were expensive. They had a rigid set of items, and we wanted something customizable. So we hopped on the idea of creating a new kind of technology, and we introduced that in 94, 30 years ago. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And we've been on that journey ever since, continuing to pioneer, innovate, create new things. And one of the things I've loved about working with Paula and Denny is all three of us are eager learners. I love the fact that your company is Learned, and so is your podcast. We're always seeing opportunities to grow, expand, get out of our comfort zones, and at the same time, appreciate each of the unique talents and strengths that we've brought to the table. And so we're really good at talking through this needs to get done and who's the best person to do it based on what we love to do. And so that has just been a fun journey. My role is more the relationship building, the sales and marketing side, and also creating content. And I just continue to grow and learn. There's just no end to what we can discover about ourselves and also how we can help other people grow and learn, which I know is the purpose of your company too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Meredith, I got a question for you that gets asked of me all the time. This is my 29th year at Learned. And so there's not a lot of us out there who've been almost basically dedicated. We've all done other things, but we've really focused on the companies we work with. What has helped keep you so motivated and focused? And as I can even hear your voice, so excited about what you do after all these years.
Honestly, and Damon and Darren, I know you're going to relate to this. It's the fact that there's still so much work to be done. We see every day, and I hear every day from people who have terrible bosses who don't know how to connect with them effectively and bring out their best. And I just feel my overall purpose in life is helping to elevate others. And that includes helping leaders understand these simple things they can do that make such a difference, that draw people in, that keep them excited on their teams instead of looking for their next job after a short period of time. Yeah. I just see so many opportunities to enrich people's lives. And over the years, as I'm sure with your longevity there too, you've seen examples where what you have provided makes a big difference in the life of someone else. And it isn't just that person, the ripple effect with their teams and even with their families. We've gotten feedback about how our 360 feedback tool has helped people become so much more aware of the impact of their behavior.
Yeah.
And so I honestly feel an enthusiasm and a responsibility to continue bringing this to various organizations, because I understand at a very deep level the impact it can have on lives.
For 1 second, though, I don't want to move past this. What are, you mentioned that there's some tips or things that leaders can learn to help create, whether you want to call it loyalty or really have a big impact on their team, which we talked about before the show, is even more difficult in a remote environment. Can you share with us, or maybe unpack a little bit, what one or two of those tips could be?
Oh, absolutely. One of them starts with your attitude before you ever have a conversation with someone and thinking about, who do I need to be for this person? Because I don't agree that we have this personality and that's who we are and it's rigid. I can accommodate someone else if I'm really coming from a spirit of being of service to them. So I think that's one key thing, is not having a set mind about a particular individual, coming to a conversation open, and then being willing to listen with an open mind and not from a place of, I'm going to provide a solution, I'm going to argue with their point because I'm sure I'm not going to agree with it. It's coming from that willingness to learn from the other person. And that includes, there are three things in terms of listening that I think would be good tips for people. One is, are you able to set aside all the multitasking things you might be tempted to do, especially in a remote situation if the person's not sitting in front of you? Although some people are rude and work on their phone while somebody's in front of them. But typically, just looking at how can I set aside and give this person my full attention? And then manage two different kinds of distractions. The ones would be around you, the external ones. Do you have your computer on or you have your email pulled up that you might be tempted to glance at that while you're having a Zoom call with someone? And the other one is more challenging. It's the internal distractions. Do I allow my thoughts to wander, or am I able to really focus? Am I starting to think about how I want to respond to this person and what I want to say to them? And I'm going to be quick to give advice and give them a solution so I can move on to the next thing because I don't have time for this lengthy conversation. You know, yeah. All these thoughts that go through our heads. So if we can become aware that those are real things that we need to pay attention to and be aware of so that we can let them dissolve and focus in on that person and give them our full attention. That in itself is one of the greatest gifts a leader can give the people on their team, is that undivided attention.
I love the way that you say this because it's so easy to say this stuff in a way that's like simple. Yeah, I get that. Don't be distracted. But you have to... The passion that you bring and the clarity that you bring to the idea is what helps people see it in a fresh way. That's so much of what I feel like we need to do in this.
Yeah. And I think the other tip I would give is be willing to ask more questions and draw out from the person the solution. If people are used to coming to you with problems and waiting for you to give them the answer, there's a dependency that's being created there that isn't healthy for you or that other person. Yeah. Because you're robbing them of the opportunity to grow, learn, risk, try things. And I think for many leaders, they feel they need to be that answer person. Somebody's coming to me, and especially someone new in leadership, somehow they mistakenly think, I've got to be the one to know it all. And of course they don't, as you would like to say, Damon, they learn it all, not a know it all. Yeah. And so asking the questions that draw out, like, what have you thought about so far? What options are you considering? What are the pros and cons? And where are you leaning? So that they're not looking to you. And what that does for the leader over the long term is it creates independent thinkers who are resourceful and able to act on their own. And it frees up the leader from having to have these conversations where they're always putting out answers to people and not requiring them to do the thinking.
Yeah.
By the way, this works for parents too.
Yeah.
Meredith, what you touched on right there for our listeners out there and everybody, I think this is one of the keys to learned success over the years, especially coming from we talked a lot about, and I think I talked about on your show, hiring for potential over experience. One of the keys over the years that I feel like I've gotten better at, and I've helped work with some of our other leaders to get better at, is to not just jump in and play the hero and just solve things. It's taking the extra time. It takes patience, right? It takes patience and to ask more questions, get deeper, and ask people to think about what the response is. And what I like to say to people, team members of ours who lead other people, is the time that you invest now in helping people be thinkers and do their own work, you're going to save it in dividends in the future because you're going to feel comfortable going out and coming up with these solutions on their own instead of constantly looking to you for answers. So the time you invest now is going to pay off in dividends. And I believe that builds stronger teams. And especially if mistakes are made and things don't go well, then if it's just, hey, no problem, let's learn from this. What can we do differently next time? And have them come up with those solutions. Darren, I'm curious what you think, but I think that's one of the things that you just mentioned, Meredith, that's really made Learned a special place to work. And it's tough, but it's important.
I agree. And it is something that we talk about, we teach, and we value. And I think we live, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. And it's, I read somewhere, and I can't remember where it was now, but something about how this was going to be the year of people slowing down to go fast, like just finally grabbing a hold of this idea that you, because I think that's what happens, right? You get in a bubble of feeling like you need to do so many things, and you pursue your goal so single-mindedly that you forget to do things like slow down, listen, ask questions, or you're just so distracted all the time that if you don't have something distracting, you have to go look for it. So it's this idea of slowing down enough to exhibit these good behaviors, which we do and we invest in it, but it's always a little bit of a challenge. And so I'm wondering, Meredith, what do you think about that? What's it going to take for us to be able to slow down and have the room for leaders to say, no, it's okay, we're going to go faster, Damon said, if we just slow down, because the investment long-term will be better.
I think a lot of that starts at the top. And I think another piece of it is, who am I being versus what am I doing? Because if I focus on who am I being, where am I coming from in my approach to getting things done? And I have certain declarations that I say every day, and I'll share one of them with you because it's relevant to what you're talking about. Every morning, one of the things I say is, I am absolute calmness, clarity, and confidence. Mm-hmm. And that whole idea of moving in a calm, relaxed manner. If I say that and I write it, that reminds me of who I want to be in every moment of the day. So if I find myself getting stirred up or with something that I want to do, I'll just take a breath and remind myself, I am absolute calmness, clarity, and confidence. And that helps to reposition me, because if I can approach the task that I'm going to do from that perspective, then I am able to have that clarity of mind so that I, because I find when I start putting stress on myself to work fast or whatever it is, I lose that ability to be as creative as I might. I feel constricted instead of expanded. Yeah. So I think that's a key part. Who do I want to be? In fact, I start every day creating myself. I'm writing in my journal, today I am loving service. I am patient. I am whatever I feel is going to best serve me that day. So that is in the front of my consciousness when I go to have a conversation, do an interview, whatever task it is I'm going to do. So I'm not focused on my task list first. I'm focused on my being list. Then I get to what is it I'm going to do. Yeah. That just shifts everything for the day.
Yeah.
If I were to skip that, then I start a little bit more frantic and less calm. And I wanted to add one other thing as I was listening to both of you. When I think about a leader's role and one of their greatest responsibilities, another reason to have people learn to think for themselves is it's a way of elevating them. I really think that if we could help leaders see one of their most important responsibilities is drawing out the greatness in the people who work for them. Mm-hmm. So those people, each one feels better at the end of the day than when they started, because things have happened that have caused them to believe in themselves more.
Yeah.
And when a leader can help them realize, I can figure this out myself, that builds resourcefulness, resilience, and capabilities that then serve the organization in a more powerful way.
Meredith, I think if we asked 20 people to write down attributes and then collected them and looked for the top three, calmness, clarity, and confidence would probably be what would be on the list. But my question then is, if we went back to 1990, Meredith Bell, how would she compare on the calmness, clarity, and confidence scale?
A great question. I've grown in all three of those, actually. I don't think I thought about calmness back then. It was,
I tell you, I didn't back the way.
Working on all these things. And I had, when I started my business, I left education, where I thought I was going to have my career as a teacher and then in supervisory roles. And I realized, woo, I didn't do politics and bureaucracy well. And I just made the decision I was leaving, in retrospect, I realized how that took a lot of confidence that I could figure it out. I had never taken a business class. I didn't know anything. I just knew I could learn. And so I read a lot of books. This was, of course, way pre-internet days, and studied a lot. And so I think I've always had confidence, but it has gradually grown over the years. Yeah. As have my clarity about my purpose. That came into greater clarity over years as I was formulating it. And then I've had a clear vision for myself for more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. My purpose is to love and serve profoundly so others appreciate their own value and maximize it. Yeah. So that kind of clarity gives me that passion that you picked up on and that enthusiasm. And I think I've learned more calmness over the years.
That's great. So I have a question for you too. When it comes to your passion is really to, you're passionate about the work, helping people to learn and grow and become their best selves, empowering others. But within the three of you collaborating, you also have this other role, which is to be client facing and sales. I feel like there's a lot of people who are creative, maybe in our field or even other fields, who feel like they have a harder time selling and promoting their work. Was that hard for you? How did you add that skill onto the design skill?
I guess it's because I did a lot of studying on selling also. And for me, it all comes down to relationship building. Yeah. We have clients that have worked with us, like you have, for over 20 years. And it's because we understood, I think, at a fairly deep level and early on, the client experience is really important. That's going to help build our business because they'll tell other people.
Yeah.
Some of our resellers have worked with us for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so it's this idea of helping people feel valued, mm-hmm. and being focused on them and what they need. And so when I am speaking to someone, if it's a direct selling situation, I'm really focused in on learning about them as a person. Yeah. In addition to what's going on in their organization. And so they don't feel pressure from me. I'm not trying to look for an opportunity to get in there and close the sale. I don't follow those kinds of structures. I'm looking for how can I be of service to them?
Yeah.
And I'll share a quote with you that is, I guess, summarizes my approach to sales as well as relationship building. It came from a book called The Prosperous Coach by Steve Chandler and Rich Litvin. And it's really was written for coaches. And I'm not a coach. We don't provide those kind of services, but I end up doing kind of informal coaching at times with folks. But this sentence jumped out to me. I read it more than 10 years ago, and I've refined it in my own interactions with people. And it's this: you ask a question before you have that conversation. How can I serve this person so powerfully that they never forget our conversation for the rest of their lives?
It's good.
Now, you think about that, even a leader with somebody on their team. How can we make this a meaningful conversation so that it has real impact? Typically, that's not going to come from talking about your product or talking about yourself. It's drawing out something from that other person that they may not even have recognized was there. Yeah. Through your questions, through your observations, and they feel lifted up.
Yeah.
As a result of talking to you. Now, that's not to say every conversation is going to be something profound, but when we have that attitude of being of service to someone else,
yeah.
and really treating them like they're the most important person in the world in that moment, it has profound lasting impacts.
Now, I didn't come into the conversation part of it, but what I found too is to really help lift people up is showing that you have trust in them, that you
yes.
have trust in them. I've worked with a lot of people who have shared with me when I said, give me an example of a great leader and why. And they will say they listen to me, but also they put their trust into me.
Yes. Absolutely. And that is another way that we help them build confidence in themselves. Because if we trust them to do this, then they step up to the plate and don't want to disappoint us. They don't want to let us down because we've expressed to them, we have confidence that they can get this done.
Yeah. I feel like there's a theme in so much of what you're saying that I really resonate with, and in a surprising way, because I spent so much time being an actor. And if there's any job that you could think, oh, actor's about look at me, I'm the star, it's all about me. And to some extent, there are things about that that are true, but really what you're so focused on, what gets you through it, is to not be focused on yourself. It's not about you. It's about the other people in the scene. It's about the story, the script. It's always about everything but you. And I feel like that's what you're saying here too, is so much of the advice is get the attention off yourself and what you feel so important about and put it on other people and just slow down and put it on other people.
And I think that kind of, before we came on the air, we talked a lot about self-awareness. And I think that kind of ties into it. The best leaders, and for me, the best baseball coaches that I've ever played for, and I played for some great ones, is that they didn't make it about themselves. They stayed in the background. So how does self-awareness really play into being a great leader, do you think, Meredith?
I think it's huge. It's fundamental. It's foundational. If I'm not aware of my own tendencies, of myself, who I am, how I come across, how I impact the people around me, I can be a bull in a china closet, right? I can just walk all over people and not have any idea because I'm focused on the results I want and where I want to get to and not paying attention to others. So I think it's so huge. I think a lot of leadership classes, besides listening, often start with that self-awareness, knowing more about who you are. There are often assessments that are taken. And of course, we're big on 360s because it helps raise awareness of things where you may have had a blind spot, both about your strengths, as well as where you might be causing problems for people that you didn't mean to, but you need to have a better understanding. So I think that's key. There's something else that I thought of as you were talking, Darren, this thing of not wanting to be the center of attention. Mm-hmm. Humility is one of those aspects to me of character that is so critical also for a leader. And I was thinking of the definition I heard that I love the best, and I can't tell you who said it, but humility is not thinking less of yourself, mm-hmm. but it's thinking of yourself less.
Yeah, that's a good, I have heard.
Isn't that great? Yeah, because humility doesn't mean, poor me, don't look at me. Yeah. It's having that inner confidence and that inner strength so much so that you don't need the adulation of others to know you're okay.
Yeah.
And so you don't need the spotlight on you as much.
We were talking earlier.
I got a question around that. A lot of our listeners and our customers are new or first-time leaders. And it is tough. It's tough to come into a new management position and really be humble and show humility because you're nervous. You could be nervous that, okay, does my team trust me or believe that I'm capable of doing this role? Do you have any advice for somebody either who is maybe going out on their own as an entrepreneur, starting their own business where they have to bring in a couple team members or just net new leaders, people who are promoted from individual contributor to a management role, leadership role?
You know, I think a key thing is being willing to be vulnerable with the folks there and just acknowledge I'm new to this and to succeed, I'm going to need your help. And so you get people to come on the side of the table with you so that you're moving in the same direction together and you ask for their input. What can we do to make this an even more effective team than we've ever had before? I don't want to come in and come up with a lot of ideas that aren't relevant for you. So let's talk. And they can do that in one-on-one conversations as well as group conversations, taking the time to get to know each person on the team and what's important to them. I've heard executives call this go on listening tours. I think that's one of the best things a new leader could do is go on a listening tour with every member of the team to get to know them. Because again, that's investing in the relationship up front and saying, you matter to me. Mm-hmm. I want to spend time with you. And in making that investment up front builds that sense of team and cooperation and trust that you are talking about. And just coming up with some questions. And I don't know who to give this credit to, but just say, what's one thing I would do that would really annoy you, like micromanage or something?
Yeah.
And what's something you'd like me to do? If we were talking a year from now, what would I have done for you in this company to make you feel like you were just so excited about your work? So just asking questions to get input from that other person so you have a better understanding of what motivates them, what really is important to them, because that sets the groundwork for making the best use of the strengths and skills of everybody on the team.
I've tried this out a few times, and I feel I'm not 100% sure if this is a good idea, but I feel like it can be effective, which is to just, in that vulnerability sense, is own what your motivation is, where you're coming from. Instead of trying to be so perfectly logical and say, this needs to happen, this needs to happen, it's here's where I'm coming from with this. Because then it allows people to put what you're saying into context so they understand it a little bit better. And I have a weird acting reference for this, which I heard this story of somebody was acting with Christopher Walken. And actors, we all have an inner monologue, which is that inner voice that you have. And Christopher Walken in rehearsal, supposedly, would speak his inner monologue out loud. So you'd hear the lines, but he'd say what his character was just thinking is, I feel uncomfortable with that comment. That Coke looks really appetizing to me. I think I'm going to walk over there. Like, but you always then knew where he was. So you adjust your acting to it. And I almost feel like in real life, we could afford to do a little bit of that in that vulnerability sense to allow people to know where we're coming from.
And that's such a great point, Darren, because people on your team are looking to you to set the example, set the stage for what's okay and what's not okay to say around here.
Yeah.
And I think the more we can build safety by being open ourselves and admitting, Gary Ridge, one of my favorite CEOs ever from WD-40?
That's right. Yeah.
He would say his favorite three words are, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be willing to say, I don't know the answer to that. What do you think?
Yeah.
So that it's not like you're coming across as you're clueless, but to affirm the person bringing that up, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. And I really don't know right offhand. Yeah. So tell me what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And then getting input from others. I think that's so critical to setting the stage, to making it safe for someone else to say, I don't know, but I can find out, or I don't know, but I'll check, so that people feel that they can be vulnerable too.
Meredith, you had something new that you're developing. And when we were talking about it earlier, you mentioned character. And
yes.
I just want to shout out to that, because I remember as a kid, like this was a common thing to talk about a little bit more, about developing your own character. I feel like we lost that in the common sort of conversation. We don't really talk about it anymore. So what are you developing here, and why is character important?
Yes. When you think about leadership, there's the ability to communicate well, and that has been something we have focused on for years. And the other piece of it, though, that we've also been intrigued by and interested in is this whole area of character, because that's so critical in effective leadership too. And we call it character skills in this new program. In fact, we call the program Skill Builder, because a character skill, rather than a character trait, let's say, trait implies this is something fixed. Mm-hmm. And we believe character is something that can be developed over time, just like a communication skill, like listening or giving feedback. So when you think about courage or perseverance or integrity, honesty, composure, we have 36 different topics that we address in this program. And what it's all about is giving people opportunities to practice that on the job, because it's one thing is to provide knowledge-based content.
Yeah.
But if people don't do something with it, the old behavior is going to continue, because that is hardwired in our brains. Yeah. So until we practice and develop those new pathways that are more like a dirt road or a bumpy, rocky road initially, we need to keep practicing it over time. So looking for opportunities of where can, let's just take honesty for a moment. because we can be honest or dishonest in different ways. We can be dishonest by not speaking up, by not saying what we're really thinking. When somebody asks, are you okay with that? And we say, yeah, or we don't say anything. Whereas if inside we have a strong disagreement, we're violating that and not being honest. And of course, there's appropriate ways to do it so that you're respecting the other person as well. But with integrity, for example, we're looking at not just integrity with others. Do you follow through on your promises? Can you be counted on to do what you say you'll do? But looking at integrity with yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if you say, I'm going to get up at six or whatever time and go work out, and then you hit the snooze button and you don't get up, or you say, I'm going to eat healthy today, and then you start eating donuts first thing.
Yeah.
These are instances where you're not having integrity. You're not keeping your word with yourself. And that impacts your self-esteem. It impacts the way you see yourself and you interact with the rest of the world. So each one of these is a skill that I think overall, as we develop them, we become stronger, more effective human beings.
So how does your new product, how does it work?
It's a one-year subscription. People access the content. And so in each of the lessons, there's a specific quote and an image for them to reflect on. And then there's some specific content for them to look at in terms of a context for applying that particular skill. And the front-end lesson gives them the what is this in terms of a definition and why is it important, so they get an understanding of what that's all about. And then we encourage them to work with a coach to help support them and hold them accountable. And this can either be a coach that's brought into the company, or could be their manager, or they could work in peer coaching partnerships so that two people that maybe are working in the program work together and make a commitment to meet on a regular basis and hold each other accountable and provide support. Because overall, when people are trying to learn a new skill, it's not easy to stick with it over time. And so having this coaching partner in whatever form that takes is an important element in having it stick over time.
And there's 46 skills.
And this particular program includes our 10 communication skills also. So there's a total of 46 different topics that they can look at and work on over the course of the year.
That's great. Here, I have a question on the sort of pedagogical side. Speaking of pedagogy, I'll get pedagogical and say it's actually andragogical because it's adult learning. But anyway, when you're trying to help somebody be something, like be more vulnerable, be more honest, these character traits, it can be challenging because what do I do? It's like, how do I give better feedback, or how do I manage my calendar better? That it's easier to access, it feels like, actions. I think it's really important for people to invest in being related things, like being more empathic. And I know people have questions about it and want to get better at those things, but how do you handle it from a teaching point of view, that helping somebody be something?
Yeah. And it's examples and stories, right? That's how, you know, you make it concrete and you make it real. And for each one of the activities we encourage people to take on, we give examples of things they could do that would be a way to do that. For example, what I was talking about with honesty, when you are in a meeting and somebody says something that you think is inappropriate or is overly critical with someone else, speak up about it.
Yeah.
Speak up and speak your truth in moments when you could make a difference in how a situation or a meeting or whatever interaction turns out. And so I think that's a key piece of bringing it to life for people and making it real for them is describing it in concrete ways and then giving examples of different situations where they could apply that.
That's a great example. That authenticity piece is actually important too, because we believe really strongly in the powerful of diversity in a team in every possible sense, because that team has more potential. But you can't realize that potential if people don't actually bring their authentic selves to the room. that you, so you need that psychological safety for, to get the benefit of that diversity. So you, so honesty is actually a key component of high performing teams.
Yeah. And when I think about in a meeting situation, because we have meetings all the time, I think the leader giving permission up front for people to speak up at what they're seeing, what they're sensing is so important. Because when you're leading a meeting, there's the content of the meeting, and then there's the process of what's going on. And if you're focused on the content of what you want to cover, your agenda, then it's helpful to have the other eyes and ears paying attention to who's participating, who's not. Are you calling on this same person too often? Have we not heard from this person over here who we know tends to be quieter and is the thinker? And yet when they speak, it's, whoa, they come out with things everybody wants to pay attention to. So we haven't heard from that person yet. The team has permission up front to say, wait a minute, I want to hear what this person has to say. So it's that kind of thing. How can we set the stage? And I think that needs to be done overtly by the leader, and even setting up, what are our ground rules for our team? What do we all agree are important behaviors that we all abide by? And if any of us violates those, we can call each other out from a space of caring, not jumping to criticize and judge, but we want to maximize our work together. And so how do we need to be with each other in order for that to happen? And drawing that out from everyone, and then you make that commitment. I was just talking to David Katz, CEO of Plastic Bank, recently about what he does. And one of the things he does in meetings is he reviews the vision, the values of the organization. He says, you can't over-communicate. You can't say these things too much. And so reviewing the, and I don't like to use the word rules, but it's like the culture, what it reminding people of, what culture have we created here? And so what does that mean about how we're treating each other? Reminding us of that. So that if somebody violates any one of those, let's say someone starts name calling or using sarcasm or something that's putting another person down, then a member of the team who witnesses that feels safe to say, now, wait a minute. That is not in alignment with what we've all agreed to. It's not trying to put that person down. It's raising their awareness.
And I think, Meredith, as I sit here listening to you, it takes a lot of pressure off the leader or the person running the meeting if you go into it like that. So that if everybody in the room knows that they can speak up and help participate, or even to say, hey, I would really love to hear what Michael has to say. I'd love to hear what Susie has to say. And if everybody in line, it really helps take some of the pressure off the actual leader.
It's that shared responsibility.
Shared responsibility.
No, that feeling like this is on all of us, not just me, not just the leader, all of us. And I think that builds that loyalty, which is another character trait. How am I being loyal to the team or disloyal if I'm talking about people outside the team instead of talking to that individual directly that I need to speak to? No, there are all these behaviors that as we learn to grow them and they become stronger, we as a team can become stronger and we're more committed to each other and to everybody's well-being. And I think that's really what builds. We were talking about remote versus in-person. This idea of, if I feel like I'm a real important part of this group, whether it's remote or in person, there are so many ways we can have emotional connections rather than just go through the task list of what did you do and is it done and that sort of thing. But that caring about each other as human beings, I think, is at a core of building that commitment and the loyalty and retention that's so important in organizations today.
Meredith, going all the way back to the beginning, we talked about purpose and what pulls you forward in this work. And I'm thinking about how there was 2 billion people in the world when I was born, and now there's 7.5 billion. There's so many of us. And that caring about other people, but really doing it with all of the 46 skills and things that we're talking about, that I feel like has the potential for ripples beyond just the organization that you work in, but for all of humanity. And I really connect with that, and everything that he just said as we start to wrap this up feels like a good note for people to leave with. But we can't end the program without first asking the question. People have gotten to learn some things about you during the session. What are some things that people may not know about you that they might find a little surprising?
One, not that many people know. I went to high school with Mark Hamill.
Oh, wow.
Skywalker.
Skywalker.
Yeah.
And it was so fun because he left after our sophomore year, but both years that he was there, he was in all the school plays and musicals. He wanted to act. So it was so exciting to see him. And I actually kissed him goodbye before he left. They were moving to Japan. And I still remember going to a movie with him before they moved. And he was just so wired about it afterwards, just the acting and connecting with that group of people that were performing in that, whatever the movie was at the time. He was always just a wonderful human being. So it's been so cool to watch his evolution with the Star Wars
and
all the other things that he's done. The other thing I'll just share real quick is I've been an avid bird watcher for 22 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's my husband and I both share that. We're not one of these types that has to travel around the world to go see and add this huge life list of birds. It's our way of getting into nature and just reconnecting with what's real out there in the natural world. And birds are just fascinating because there's so many different types and what they go through in creating their nests and raising young and their commitment. There's a lot we can extract from what we watch in the world of nature and bring to understanding and appreciating the people in our world too.
Yeah. Is a huge important part, isn't it? If you're out there and you would like to form a I Have Kissed Luke Skywalker club, be sure to contact Meredith to include her. If you're interested, if you're an avid bird watcher, or if you're interested in communication skills, leadership skills for you or your organization, where can people reach you, Meredith?
You know, the best place would be our website, which is growstrongleaders.com. As Damon mentioned earlier, I have a podcast there too. I'm up to 270 some episodes now. And I'm sorry.
It's a great podcast for leaders.
Yeah. I agree. I've had some fabulous guests. I just love these conversations. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter X as well. Yeah. Probably most active on LinkedIn. But there is a contact form on our website, growstrongleaders.com, if somebody wanted to set up a time to talk with me. I'd welcome it.
That's great. Thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure. We obviously just scratched the surface, I think, of everything that we could have talked about. So many things we talked about before we jumped on that we didn't even get to. So next time, hopefully, Meredith, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you both. It was such a pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you, Meredith.